Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another episode of our silsila Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the life of the chosen one. In our last episode, we covered the return of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Madinatul Munawwara. He had gone there with his noble mother radiyallahu ta'ala anha and Ayman, but on his return his noble mother passed away and he was entrusted to his grandfather thereafter. And the time with his grandfather Abdul Muttalib lasted for a period of 2 years, after which he was given to his uncle Abu Talib, who was the full brother of his late father Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We stopped at the point where we revealed how Maysara, the servant of the Honorable Khadija, would accompany our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on what would be his second journey to Syria. And what happened after that? Who did they meet? Did he meet Bahira again? We will continue from there right after I share with you a benefit of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or what we commonly understand as Durood Sharif or Salawat. This hadith is mentioned by Imam Tabarani and is narrated by Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala. He narrates that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, whosoever expressed a supplication of blessing for me, that supplication of blessing, that reciting of Durood Sharif, it reaches me. And not only does it reach him, he continues, he says, it reaches me and I seek forgiveness for the one who performs this action. And also, the Prophet ﷺ continues, for him 10 hasanat, 10 good deeds are written for him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. My dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, we are reminded in this narration of how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam receives our supplication of blessing. And not only does this reach him, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, out of his merciful being so merciful himself, seeks forgiveness for us. In this particular narration, it's highlighted that 10 hasanat or 10 good deeds are recorded, are written for him. So let us make this a habit, adopt a good habit of sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam daily. Make this a routine so that we can attain the blessings of this act of worship. We finished our last episode with mention of the second journey of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to Syria, and how he was accompanied by a servant of the Honorable Khadija. His name was Maysara. When our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam reached the famous market of Busra, near that area, within that area, he decided to rest under a particular tree. When a Christian monk came out of his cell, out of his chamber, to meet Maysara, who his name was, as described or as mentioned by the books of Sirah, was Nastura. Nastur. He came out to meet Maysara, and he knew Maysara from previous meetings. The Sirah sources suggest that they were friends of some sort. He was more interested in the tree, and he looked towards the tree and he said to Maysara, who is that resting in the shade of that tree? And Maysara, as anyone would, began to introduce our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying his name is Muhammad, he is a resident of Makkah al-Mukarrama, he belongs to the Banu Hashim, a very honorable family. The family that he belongs to are carers for the sacred house, the Holy Kaaba, and he is an honorable man. His title is Al-Amin. So he was introducing our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with words like this. But Nastura, he said in response to all this, that none other than a prophet is resting under that tree. He said this because during his observation, he noticed all the signs that he had read about from the scriptures related to the final prophet. And also, one of those signs being that only prophets or the final prophet would rest under this tree, the shade of this tree. So this was a confirmation for him. And when he realized that it was the final prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he expressed his emotions to Maysara and told him and advised him and said to Maysara, you know, protect him from the Jews, for they may harm him. He echoed the concern that Bahira expressed in the first journey of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It is not clear whether Nastura replaced Bahira in the same area or the same cell, but they both had the same concern for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he advised Maysara. He said, remain close to him always, for he is the seal of prophethood. He is the final prophet. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam fulfilled his role of that he was entrusted with in terms of the buying and selling, which would take place during this business trip, and began Maysara observing closely. And one thing which he noticed that he found strange was when he was traveling with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he noticed that even at midday, when the heat is at its peak, the sun, the heat of the sun is at its peak, when he observed closely and looked near our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was amazed by what he saw, for he saw two angels shading or providing shade for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protecting him from the direct rays of the heat of the sun. This was something which he would share later. As the caravan returned to Makkah al-Mukarrama, the Honorable Khadija was watching from her residence, arrival of the return of her caravan. And she was also amazed by what she saw, for she saw the same scene. She saw these, what she thought to be angels, shading our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And when days later, after the return, a successful return for the business caravan, and everything had been discussed, a few days later, when she mentioned this to Maysara about what she saw, Maysara then revealed what he saw as well. And then Maysara mentioned what Nastura had said about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And on hearing all this, the Honorable Khadija, her a feeling of devotion for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increased in her heart, and her heart swayed. And this desire of marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into her heart. She, in fact, consulted the aunt of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely Safiya, and also gave this duty to a slave girl by the name of Nufaysa, who was told to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about whether or not he would be interested in marriage to the Honorable Khadija. Briefly, Nufaysa did convey the message to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to his uncle Abu Talib and some of the other elders in his family, who were happy and very excited by this proposal, because the Honorable Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was known for her piety. She was described, or a name given to her was Tahira, the pure one. Her purity and her nobility was known by the people. In fact, she, after becoming a widow for the second time, she received marriage proposals from the chiefs of other tribes, but at that time she had no intention to marry. From her first two marriages, as recorded, her first husband, his name was Abu Hala bin Dharara Tamimi, with whom she had two sons, and her second husband, Atiq bin A'id Makhzumi, her second husband, she gave birth to a son and a daughter, and she was 40 years old. She eventually got married to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, her the reason that she mentioned for her inclination to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to one source, she said, "Inni qad raghibtu fika li husni khulqika wa sidqi hadithik." Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha specified two qualities when she expressed her affection for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The two qualities being reasons why she became inclined towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The first being his good character, and the second quality being his truthfulness. The fact that she was impressed by him being Al-Amin and being so trustworthy. In Islam, the importance of good character is highlighted by various prophetic traditions. Generally, people acknowledge good character and they are impressed by good character and they praise good character. In fact, even an enemy would acknowledge the fact that his enemy is a man or an individual of civility and a real gentleman, so to speak. In Islam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to adopt good character. In one particular hadith, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the most complete believer from amongst you is the one who has the best character among you, and the one who is polite with his family members. We see in society that many people portray themselves as religious people, and they show this level of tolerance and piety, and are praised by people. But as soon as they go home, they completely change. It's like a change of personality. They lose their temper very quickly. They shout at their family members, at their children. This contradicts the very quality of good character. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified the element of behavior towards family members. In some narrations, it specifies the women of the household. In another particular tradition, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that the best thing given to humankind was good character. So we must adopt good character so we attain the blessings that come with this good action. As far as the truth is concerned and truthfulness is concerned, the Quran and various prophetic traditions remind us of the importance of the truth. In Surah Tawbah, Allah Almighty says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful, be with those, be with the people of the truth. The best believer is the one who adopts good character and is polite with his family. If someone has an issue with being tolerant at home and patient with his family members, usually such a person is lacking an aspect of good character. And as far as truth is concerned, a believer and truth should be something which is completely natural. Truth should be something which is part of a believer. For our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us through his example, right to the stage that we have reached in our silsila. He is being described as Al-Amin. People are entrusting him with their possessions. People are asking for him to represent them in business affairs. He is looked upon as a man who can be trusted. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was accompanied by his family members and his uncle Abu Talib and other relatives. They came to the house of the Honorable Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha for the nikah ceremony. I want special attention from you here. I want you to close your eyes before I share with you the words and the message conveyed by Abu Talib, who, as you may remember, was a gifted poet. He's very eloquent. And try to imagine the gathering and the air of excitement and the atmosphere of happiness, the waiting period for the actual nikah to be conducted. And Abu Talib stands up to address the audience and talk about his nephew, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I continue, just close your eyes, no peeking. Close your eyes and try to create a kind of feeling of visualizing the environment, although it's very difficult. And I will share with you what a summary of what Abu Talib delivered. Abu Talib said, all praise for he who made us part of the lineage of the Honorable Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the children of the Honorable Ismail alayhi salam, and granted us birth in the family of Mudar, and made us carers of his house, the sacred Kaaba, and organizers of the Haram, and granted us the abode of knowledge and wisdom, and made us rulers over people. This is the son of my brother, Muhammad bin Abdullah. He is such a youth that if compared to any individual of the Quraysh, would surpass him in every aspect. Yes, he has little wealth, but money is a receding shadow which is prone to change. Amma ba'du, my nephew Muhammad is one with whom my closeness and affection is well known by all of you. He hereby marries Khadija bint Khuwaylid and specifies 20 camels from my wealth as a bridal gift. His future is very bright. The khutbah ended there, after which the first cousin of the Honorable Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, namely Waraqa bin Nawfal, who was the son of her uncle, he also delivered a speech and expressed his affiliation and to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, stayed. It's worth mentioning here, he was married. Sayyida Khadija spent a period of approximately 25 years with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and during this time our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not marry anyone else in this 25 year period of her life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also that most of her children, excluding the honorable Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala, and apart from him, all other children of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from this marriage with Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani channel, according to some sources of seerah, there came a time where, due to rains and flooding, in fact, a lot of the haram was affected by the flooding after rainfall. This was because the location of the Kaaba, the blessed Kaaba itself, and the haram was on low-lying ground, and you had the hills around. And what the inhabitants of Mecca al-Mukarrama, Zadahallahu Sharafan wa Ta'azima, had done, they had actually made small dams, you can even say. They'd actually tried to stop water potentially reaching, overflowing. But when at certain intervals those small dams burst and were overflown, and water came into the haram area and affected the Kaaba itself. So a decision was made about rebuilding the blessed Kaaba. So for this task, tribes were involved. They considered this to be an honor. And the main construction or rebuilding had taken place. Now came the moment of placing that blessed black stone, the Hajar Aswad, placing it in its location in the Kaaba. And here there was a dispute, for the chiefs began to argue. Some mentioned that they were more worthy of it, some others said that they were more deserving, and there was a standoff for 4 days at least. And according to one tradition, the Banu Adi and the Banu Abd al-Dar, they actually kind of took an oath. They performed a ritual of the Jahiliyyah times, where in a vessel they had some blood gathered in a vessel, and they dipped their fingers, all of them, they dipped their fingers in that container and licked their fingers as an expression of how they were committed to the cause, and no matter what, they would die for the cause. So tension was rising, the air was tense, people were on the verge of taking their swords out. At this point, an elderly man from amongst them said, "Let the decision be made by the one who enters the haram first in the morning. So the first one who will enter the masjid in the morning, we will leave the decision with him, and he will make the decision about who places the black stone, the Hajar al-Aswad, in the Kaaba, in its location." And I will stop here as far as our relation of the relating the seerah is concerned. What happened? Who was the first person to enter the masjid or the haram in the morning? Was a decision accepted by all the chiefs, or was there another war amongst them? Find out in our next episode of Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the life of the chosen one. Before you go, a gift for the ummah, and that gift is a code of conduct. It is what we refer to within Dawat Islami as the Madani In'amat. And the Madani In'amat being a code of conduct which, if followed, would help, will help one to become a better believer, to develop a routine of piety, to develop a routine of good actions, to make help us make most of our days. And to put this into practice, we have a practical element within Dawat Islami, and that is found within the Madani Qafila. When they travel from area to area, city to city, even country to country, leaving dunya behind, leaving all the distractions of this world, and staying within the masjid area, praying in congregation, being in a religiously devoted environment, and simply being inspired by moments where they are able to devote their time fully for the service of deen and to improve themselves and reform themselves. So my dear brothers in Islam, it is a request, and viewers of Madani channel that remain, become part of this wonderful movement, become part of this organization, so that we together may serve the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. I will end with the words of our Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahli Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, Attar se mahbub ki sunnat ki le khidmat, Attar se mahbub ki sunnat ki le khidmat, Danka ye tere deen ka dunya mein baja de. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.